Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to a new Ramon Foster show, starring, not coincidentally, Ramon Foster. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. And Ramon, this is our first chance to hook up since the Steelers draft. And before we get to all the fancy, sexy picks that they made, I have to ask you about Kendrick Green, the center, and the fact that he's coming in, and he has acknowledged this young man seems really well put together.
Yeah.
But he's coming in and taking the place of a legend. He heard from the legend, which shouldn't surprise you.
Not at all.
No. And talk to me about that and what kind of learning curve this kid is going to have to deal with.
Well, he's going to have to grow up really quick. That's number one. Giving snaps to Ben is no easy text, meaning he's got to go with what Ben says. Okay, whatever he learned, scrap that. At least if this is Ben's curtain call, he got to figure this out on how he's going to manage everything this year with trying to satisfy Ben, which Ben will make it easy for him, but it may be some stuff that he's going to have to get himself adjusted to and like really fast. So when I say grow up really fast, that's what I mean by that. Not in the sense that he's immature, but in the world of the NFL and what you need to have to operate. He's going to have to be a kid that gets in the playbook early. He's going to have to be a kid to show that, hey, I'm a leader early. And also, he's going to have to fight the stigma of Marquise Pouncey.
Marquise Pouncey, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at him when the pick was made, I was like, that makes sense. It made all the sense in the world simply because you can tell Kevin Colbert, Coach Tomlin, Matt Canada also is in the mix now. This is his first draft class when it comes down to what's expected. Kev and Coach T are going to be of the mindset, look, there was a standard here that worked really well for over 11 years. You're putting yourself in the shoes of a guy that did that well. So guess what you got to do? You ain't got to be him, but we need some similar things. That's why do you go out and go get an athletic center? You're not getting a big kid. The kid from Alabama is a big
center. Yeah. That's not this.
No, that's not this. This is a guy that's going to get out in space. And it also is kind of telling of, honestly, Matt Canada's offense.
Well, that's going to be in our second segment, so I'm not going to let you jump the gun here, because we're going to get into the wide zone blocking scheme in our second segment here, where Kendrick Green is concerned. A, he does have to beat out B.J. Finney, don't mean to make it sound as if he's got anything locked up.
No.
So let's swing back to B.J. Finney and talk about what he can offer at the center position. You have literally played shoulder to shoulder with the man at center.
I have. Number one, congratulations to B.J. and his wife. Just had the first baby boy, man. If people don't know, B.J. went through a very, very hard situation a couple years ago. So for them to be at this point now, as kid number two for him,
that's
his
tremendous. Boy,
that's awesome for him.
I didn't know that. That's great.
Congrats to him, man. But I'll say this, though. That is also a motivating factor in what BJ's bringing to the table.
What do you mean?
He's got a family to feed, DK. BJ's got a few things that's going for him as far as motivation go. One, wife with two kids, little boy and little girl. Gotta have that. Okay. What are you playing for besides the team? He has that. Also, he took a tour around the country, literally, figuratively, okay? Seattle, get traded back in division to Cincinnati. Did not play, I don't think. BJ did not play, so it's almost as if they was just getting rid of a guy. This is a guy who in Pittsburgh people were fighting and clawing, like, why did we get rid of him? What is going on?
And the Seahawks just let him sit.
And they just let him sit. For whatever reasons they are, he's going up against that, which in his world, me knowing BJ, how prideful he is, he's a guy that's going to create whatever he can out of this situation, man, to be a positive for him. So you have those two things working for him, and the fact that he's got a young guy. This is the first time, honestly, in his career where a young guy is at his heels for a starting position, man. But BJ brings leadership. He brings stability. He brings an era with him. And I, by era, I mean this. A group that played in front of him. Me, Marquise, DeCastro, which Dave is still there, Al Gill. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where he's at. So he understands what the standard is. That whole cliche, the standard is the standard, like, that hits home with BJ.
Well, to that note, I don't think it can be overstated how much this head coach loves this football player. I'm sometimes you say that and you know, yeah. Oh yeah, he's just saying that. Please relay to us how strongly Mike Tomlin feels about BJ Finney.
It was confusing to me, DK. I'll say this too.
When he would come in, I know what you're going to say here.
is that in when BJ got, you know, they didn't sign him back. Me, myself, I was, what?
What? Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Because I know the relationship him and Mike T have. If it was preseason and I was out, Ben was out, Pounce was out, guess who the team captain was?
Oh, sure.
It was BJ Finney.
Yep.
BJ broke it down in games where Marquise was out and the rest of us was playing and stuff like that. He was the guy that Coach T went to. He was his guy, and he did not hold back in letting people know, BJ Finney is my guy, okay? Like, it'd be in the jest way, but you know he always looked out for BJ. He cares for BJ, man. He's a guy that the importance of that guy's mentality on how he works, how he goes about his job. You saw what happened whenever he was a free agent. Like, he made a speech to his family about what it meant for him to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. With BJ, there is no questions about what his favorite team was. He may have put on two different jerseys in his little pit stops, but you know what type of guy you're getting through and through, man. He's a hard hat type of guy. If he can go,
no, he's a cowboy boots kind of guy. Get that straight.
His cowboy boots are muddy, okay? They might have horse crap on them, okay? Because BJ is hands down at all time when it comes to working. And I'm glad to see him back, though, DK, for a lot of different reasons, because that group is so young. Dave ain't the most vocal person. You know that, and I know that.
No,
when it comes to a rah-rah, it ain't him. Matt Filer wasn't a rah-rah type of guy. So you look at that group, and you say, all right, as far as old guys, Zach, Chooks, DeCastro is a quiet leader. But you need somebody that's going to be able to balance
that. Well, Zach's not exactly quiet.
Which is why you need BJ to bring it back.
But that's what I was going to say. It still has to be someone who's got some kind of credibility. And Zach, with all due respect to his potential, hasn't had a chance to build that up yet. I'll put you on the spot here with one last thing before we go to a break. Who is the starting center in the season opener?
It all depends on camp, man.
I know, but
it's hard to kind of put a wager on who. I think BJ, and I say this respectfully, is cheap enough to where he can be the starter starting out. And you know what I mean? If BJ was a high-dollar guy and you got a young rookie, they get rid of BJ.
You got to play him. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to play him. So I think it works in BJ's favor. If the kid talent outlasts, you know they're going to put him in. And it seems like he's very right-minded, this young rookie Green is.
When we come back, more from Ramon Foster. And this time, yes, on the wide zone blocking scheme of Matt Canada. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show, which is brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where they are open for business 24 hours a day, hot, fresh food served in there. Don't think of it as a gas station. Don't think of it as a convenience store. Think of it as hot, fresh food served on the spot. Get-Go Cafe and Market. Ramon, as promised, Matt Canada, it's like they're leaking these phrases out. gradually that they're hinting at this wide zone blocking scheme.
Yeah.
So before we even proceed, what is, for your listeners here, the wide zone blocking scheme? What is that, and how is it different than conventional blocking?
I think of two running backs when you think of wide zone. Arian Foster in Houston.
Oh, geez. Going back. Him.
Remember that offense for about two, 3, 4 years?
Unstoppable. That, unstoppable on the ground.
Unstoppable. We saw Arian run for like 60 on us in Texas one time, or in Houston one time, okay? Mm-hmm. And the other guy that comes to mind when you think of this offense is Chris Johnson.
Oh. I thought you were I was sure you were going to mention Cleveland, but okay.
No, not Cleveland has it a little bit, but I'm not going to give Cleveland that much credit, okay?
Yeah, okay, good.
But to their credit, they do have that. And I think what Matt Canada's think is more Arian than Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson was he's 2K all the way, okay? He's a different speed, a different burst outside of that. Like the zone scheme, listen to Munch talk about Chris Johnson and why they did it. It made a whole lot of sense with the type of runner he is. I think more of Arian, where you can keep it front side, but you're peeling back. So the way it goes, you're running zone plays. You're either A-gap to A-gap or D-gap to D-gap, cutting back in the A-gap. So let's say you get the ball right here. You're running to the hash, but you're cutting upfield. It's a outside zone cutback is the way this offense is going to be designed, if it's the way I think it is. Ben is going to take the ball, and it's going to be a wide zone handoff. And the running back, honestly, is going to cut behind the backside A-gap. It's a beautiful scheme if you can get it, which is why having these athletic guys up front, you have your Chooks, you have your Dave, you have your BJ or the young green kid. We're thinking Dotson is going to be left. And Zach is at left tackle. If that's going to be the lineup, you have a very
useful... Chooks is now at left tackle. That
Chooks is now at left?
Tomlin confirmed, yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I mean, he's got more reps. He's got more reps. And he has a history in college. He's played some left.
That's true. He's played. So if it flip that between Zach and Chooks then. Okay, so you have a very athletic line. Not super big either.
No.
So moving them side to side is what this offense will need. Then you get the young running back, Najee, who's proven at Alabama he can go downhill, but he's also good running the outside zone at Alabama too. This is a very versatile offense. When you can incorporate outside zone the way that he wants to with the ability of going up the middle and running some power also, that is a beautiful balance that you want to have, especially when you have, let's say, a quarterback that can still throw it, but he'd rather have a run game to help assist him with moving forward. And we know the run game has got to be a big part of this offense.
Well, to make sure that I understand the zone blocking thing, I've always thought of wide zone blocking as being principally this. You're blocking an area as opposed to a man, like as opposed to the, to use the James Harrison term, the man in front of you.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
You're not looking to pancake somebody. You're not looking to seal somebody. You're looking to find an area on the football field, like a game of battleship. And you say, this is my spot right here. All I'm going to do is get in your way.
Yes. It is a front side zone. Push your man outside and get momentum going. The thing is this, when you're running that type of offense, the linebackers on the opposing team better be really, really good. Because if you can move that front line, or let's say the front line plays backside, well, guess what? If he plays backside to the left guard, the left guard just pick him up. He's just got his zone. He's got his area. And the thing is, if he plays, if the D tackle plays outside of his zone, and this full zone front and side, guess what? BJ in the left guard or the center in the left guard just move on to the next guy on the second level. And that's where your creases happen right there. So, again, it's given on the outside trajectory with the ability to go right up the middle, basically. It is a good offense to run if you got the guys to do it and the running back to do it too.
Well, look, before we get to our last break, I want to ask you about – This athleticism that you mentioned, if we're being candid here, and I'm going to say these things because I know you're always in an awkward spot saying anything critical of your former teammates here, but those guys weren't getting the push that they had in the past, certainly not in the run game. And I wonder to what extent maybe this is being done as a Matt Canada adjustment, just because this is the way Matt Canada likes to run an offense, and how much this was a reaction to last year, even though most of those guys are gone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But I think in Matt Canada's mind is this type of offense leads into whatever else he wants to do in the passing game.
What do you mean?
If I can move the line of scrimmage with the play fakes, you got to think. If you're in a position where you can move the line, you got the first level down as far as the D lineman getting to you. You move, let's say, a tight end to the backside to keep your cover while Ben is rolling out somewhere. You got the ability to take shots downfield. This reminds me of the way this offense is kind of setting itself up to what San Francisco does. It's pocket movement. It's guys getting in space. It's the ability to either run the ball outside or pull up and throw deep also. This is what this is. This is why Ben has always asked for more guys as far as the skill position and wide receiver and tight end weapons. Mm-hmm. The young tight end that they got, like this guy is going to flourish in this type of offense.
You would think. Running, Pat Freiermuth from Penn State.
Yes, from Freiermuth from Penn State. This guy is going to be able to flourish in this offense because the thing is, if he's on the front line and he's just okay with blocking, and let's say it's a play action type of play, he can leak out to the flats or down the middle and nobody's ever going to see him, especially if he's on the front side. This is Gronk 2.0 in the way you want to run an offense. I hate to say it like that, but that's exactly what this is, man. It's one of those things where if you're able to be really good in outside zone and pushing the pocket, then you have the ability to kind of ease the pain of protecting all the time also. That's one thing we've always done with the group that I play with. We've always been a group that just straight drop back all day long. We used to just say, man, guys, hold on to your own, because guess what? It's going to be a long day, especially if we have 40 passes a game. With the ability to move the pocket and have an outside zone game, it gives you the ability to basically trick guys. This is the wave of the new NFL with the way the game is going to be played. It's moving the pocket. Shorter quarterbacks can have the ability to flourish, and you're going to have big plays. And I'm hoping that it comes together simply because it's needed, especially in a run game.
Yes.
And downfield passes.
And when we come back, the question, and that is this: will Ben Roethlisberger, in fact, hand the football on a regular and convictioning type basis to Najee Harris? And welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. We're brought to you by the Get Go Cafe and Market. And Ramon, it's one thing for the Steelers to draft Najee Harris. Mm. It's another thing for all of us to be super excited about Najee Harris. I mean, he looks like the next great Pittsburgh running back.
Yeah.
And it's yet another to wonder if the Steelers will commit, if they will show that conviction, mm-hmm. that dedication that you have to have in order for the running game to work. And I will ask you this first and foremost: is Ben in on that? Will he be in on that?
100%.
Oh.
Ben is all for it. That's one thing I give him credit for when Munch was here. And he kind of did it with Sweet Feet also. Was the next question, what can we run in these fronts right here? When do you want to have the run? I'm going to get him called. Just wait on me, guys. Stick with me. He's always been the type. I think the last couple of years has just been one of those, let's just let Ben kind of run the show a little bit.
You said sweet feet. Hang on. I got to cut you off. You said sweet feet. You know nobody knows except me who you're talking about.
John Surratt,
the offensive line coach. I love it. You just saying Munch said to sweet feet. And we're like, I feel like jumping in and saying, okay, Mike Munchak, former offensive line coach, says to Sean Surratt. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I feel like everybody in Pittsburgh knows all of this anyway. Okay. You're right.
All right.
John Surratt, a.k.a. Sweet Feet. Sweet okay. Feet. All right. He was a Golden Gloves back in the day. So he was a hell of a boxer. So that's how he got the name Sweet Feet. But Ben has always been in on running the ball. I guess it's just one of those things where you get to a point where, let's say, you get a second and nine. And then it's easy to throw sometimes than it is to hand the ball off again, because if that turns to third and seven, or you got to think about this too. We've kind of been honestly running the same offensive set for about 12, 13, 14 years.
Yes.
You knew that. Other teams knew that. Tennessee's, you kind of know. And there's no, of course, it's man on a man and move a body. Nobody cares about that type of stuff except getting the job done.
Right.
So when it comes down to it, this refresher that you know Matt Canada is, as far as him being what the new wave is, and I can't say that enough, because I'm telling you, everybody, like, it's gonna look different. But the thing is, if the production is hot, none of that really matters. Handing the ball off to Najee, heck, when was the last time we had a first round draft pick at running back?
Even Lev wasn't that.
He wasn't. And think about it, Lev was a second rounder, and look what his production was, with the ability to say, hey, this guy is a playmaker, we're going to hand the ball off.
I mean, the answer, if for anybody who's curious, the answer is Rashard
Mendenhall.
Yeah.
I mean, he truth be told, Rashard had the talent. It's just that he couldn't stay on the field. Here's a guy, Najee, that's played a whole lot at Alabama, who's proven, knock on wood, that he's going to be available. And I'm looking forward to that, because, again, I think this eases the tension of Ben feeling like he has to put the team on his back every single week. For fans who are involved and want to see Ben do the show, that is beautiful, but you got to have a run game, and you got to have a dynamic running back also. And that's no disrespect to James and the rest of the guys there, but Najee, if we're all being honest, is a different type of guy.
He is.
He's a different type of guy. He's a workhorse type. He's also a guy that can get the ball in space and make big plays, man. It's yet to be seen what he can do in the NFL, of course. But if I'm Ben, I'm excited for this guy. If I'm the O-line, I'm excited for this guy, too, because the unique thing about, you know, blocking for Le'Veon is Le'Veon can find the hole, like, no matter what. It might take him a second. And that was the part that kind of drew a little angst to us.
Yeah, but you loved it, though. I know you loved it. You guys loved blocking for him. Once you figured it out.
Once you figured it out.
And then when you guys got – not to veer off course here, but it was fascinating to me, in particular, when D'Angelo Williams came along.
Yeah.
How you guys would adjust who you were as blockers to who was – and they were alternating series at one point.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
It was 26 and 34 and 26 and 34. And with each guy, when he'd come on the field, you guys had to adjust who you were, and you embraced it. I remember you and Dave and Gil and all these guys were like, this is so cool.
It was part of the job. It was part of the job. So that, as exciting as those two were, having the ability to have a first rounder who's – this is – I mean, running backs going in the first, that's high, okay? Yeah. So having him – be in Pittsburgh and his style of getting the ball and go no nonsense, it's exactly what you want. And you got to look at what Alabama ran to. They were a zone. They were a power team. He's fitting right into what the Steelers want to do. And that's the beauty of that pick. People were marrying him to Pittsburgh before I think the season was almost done.
Oh, yeah, forever. His name's been connected to the Steelers for a long time. And that's, I want to ask you one last thing before we have to go today. And that's just this. You've seen this young man run football. You've seen those leaps that he did in Bama. How exciting is this just in general for the Steelers and for their fans to have this player coming here?
It's huge. As far as names, and I'll say this too, as far as an offensive player for the Steelers, going in the first round.
Yeah.
That's got to be exciting. It also shows you how aware the coaches are about what's winning in this league. It's offense. You have a stable enough defense to complement a powerful offense is what you want. That receiving core, Deontay, Juju, Chase, just to name them three, those three are second contract type of guys.
I'm not letting you leave James Washington out. I'm not letting you do that.
A sleeper, by the way. And then somebody's going to find value, and Pittsburgh is going to be looking like, yep, we knew it, but there was nothing you could do about it. Here, this guy is easily, at the least, a number two on starting number two on people's teams, okay?
Yes, he is.
And for the talent that's there of Chase, Juju, Deontay, I forget his name, and not disrespectfully, but just that's how much talent is there. And you mix that with a running back, and you still got Benny. Okay, let's not forget that. Jalen is still there also. You got an opportunity to reset on the offensive side. I know missing certain guys on defense and certain guys going to other teams, but just as a whole, if that defense can be 15 to 10, if they're better than 10 with this type of offense, we assume that Matt Canada is going to put out there, you might have something special this year. Wow, I'm not saying Super Bowl or bust. What I'm saying is this is a good base to have.
there needed to be, to some extent, Ramon, a re-swinging of the pendulum, you know, we saw in 2017 and 2018 where you guys, meaning the offense, were carrying the team and you were taking the team, you know, to the AFC championship game, and it didn't matter because you didn't have any secondary. And then we saw the pendulum kind of swing in the other direction, first with Ben getting hurt primarily. Yeah. And then the defense went through the roof. And now we see this draft, the first four picks for the first time since the early 90s were offensive players. Was that necessary? I mean, was that kind of where this was headed?
It is. It shows the belief in Matt Canada. And you hope that this is the case right here, too, that he does well enough that he wants to stay in Pittsburgh. Because, you know, like I know, offensive gurus in this league that get snatched up by teams.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is more necessary as far as needs for the team, or is it just faith in Matt Canada? Hey, if you want to be here, we're going to do what you need to get the job done. And it was necessary because Pounce left, and then you've been needing a tight end for a while, and just having the ability to have a stable running back. I mean, you can't forget those things. And I can't throw that out enough that this is the type of offense that we assume Matt Canada is going to run, that the rest of the NFL is also doing. So they had to get on board.
No question. Ramon, it's been great as always, man.
Thank you, DK, man. This is awesome.
Join us next week for another Ramon Foster Show, starring Ramon Foster.